Something I can't forget, the years of neglect. When I was young, you crushed my spirit. I can't get past the past. You let me down time after time. I prayed and prayed, but you left me anyway. You stole my innocence and robbed me of my trust. I can't get past the past.
Welcome, church. This weekend, we are continuing our series called The Jesus Way, in which we are exploring some of the profound ways that Jesus lived. Most of us know fairly well the things that Jesus said, but if we're to truly follow him, we, as Jesus followers, need to do the stuff that Jesus did in his life. 1 John 2:6 tells us that whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We need to live our lives the Jesus way. This weekend, we're looking at another fundamental reality of the life of Jesus. We're looking at forgiveness. And throughout Jesus' entire time on earth, his life was a common theme of forgiveness. He had it all the way from the beginning, appearing all the way up until the cross, including some of his final words. And Jesus included it frequently in his ministry and in his life because he knew that it was a necessity for humanity. While it might be one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to do, forgiveness is necessary because we are broken, our lives are broken, and our world is broken. And church, what I know is that every single person watching or listening to this has been or will be hurt in their lives. And I'm right there with you. I have been hurt as well. This is part of my story. I've experienced pain and suffering. I've needed to forgive and still do continually need to forgive and ask for forgiveness too. Pain and hurt, it comes in all shapes and sizes, and it affects everyone, all ages and genders. And we have seen this in everybody who just shared their story too. So what about you, church? What is written on the card of your life? We all have things that we need to forgive and ask forgiveness of and be forgiven of. C.S. Lewis writes that everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea up until they have something to forgive. We all want it. We want forgiveness, and we think it's a great and beautiful idea right up until we have something to forgive ourselves. And it hurts a lot, and it costs us greatly. And there's this cliche that people use called the grass is greener on the other side. But church, in this case, it is true. The grass on the other side of forgiveness really is greener. But getting there can be hard. It might be one of the hardest things you've ever had to do in your life or will have to do in your lives. But once you get there, you will never regret it. We know that it's not normal to forgive. Forgiveness in this world, it's not normal. We live in a time and a culture that celebrates clinging on to wrongs, capitalizing on them, and even using it for leverage to hurt others and to gain control. It's not in our natural response to forgive or to ask for forgiveness from others too. Our world is far more concerned about getting even or even canceling people. Our world will celebrate bitterness and revenge and grudges against people, even if these things are for legitimate wrongs. This is not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is not the way of the world. And as we come to see here, and what we learned today is that the Jesus way is clear. The Jesus way is the way of forgiveness, the way of forgiving others, and also being forgiven. And now I would like to say this, though, that this is the Jesus way. So this is for those of you who have chosen to follow Jesus. And if you've made that choice, you're following the Jesus way. But if you haven't, you're in a lot of ways off the hook. But I will say this, that Jesus knows what's best for us. And holding on to unforgiveness is much like Carrie Fisher says, drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. And so for those of you who have chosen to follow Jesus, to carry on with this kind of Star Wars theme, this is the way. There isn't an alternative. And while it might feel really, really costly, we know that Craig Rochelle, he says this, oftentimes on the best things are on the other side of difficult things. Forgiveness is hard and it's difficult, but Jesus is clear that it is necessary. And so today we're gonna look at Matthew 6, 5 to 15. And this is right in the middle of perhaps Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. And where we're looking today is kind of known as the Lord's Prayer. Some of it, we'll look at that. And perhaps you're familiar with it or you know it well, but this passage, it does focus on prayer, but it does have so much to say about forgiveness as well. And so the Sermon on the Mount, it begins in chapter 5 with Jesus leading the disciples through a deconstruction and a reconstructive process, revealing that God is really after their hearts, calling them into a new way of life. And so Matthew 6 is where Jesus starts to teach the disciples how to practically follow God and what that looks like, explaining the Jesus way. It's all about how to practically live this way. And so he starts this chapter by teaching them how to be generous and giving to the poor, much like what we looked at last week. And so in today's passage, he's teaching the disciples how to pray. Now Jesus, he could have taught the disciples anything and any way in the world how to pray. He could have included anything in it. And so if you were responsible for giving a blueprint of how to pray, what would you include? You can put it in the chat too if you want. We see that in this passage, Jesus does focus largely on forgiveness. He wants it to be clear for us that forgiveness must be a daily part of our central, must be a part of our daily lives. Forgiveness from God and us choosing to forgive those who hurt us is to be central to our lives. And so let's take a look at what Jesus has to say here in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive the other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. While this verse, it gets a ton of attention on forgiveness, as it should, it's important to note that Jesus, he doesn't just jump right into forgiveness. He teaches us before we can even get to that place of forgiveness, we need to take a step back and we need to start with our relationship with God and our own hearts. So before we can jump into forgiveness, we need to step back and address our own hearts. His first words here are, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And so there are two things for us to notice here. One, we are to be praying people. And two, there's a difference between knowing God's way and following God's way. He says the difference is all about what happens in the secret places of our hearts. So why does Jesus start here? Why? Well, God cares deeply about our hearts. He cares about what's going on under the surface and not just the outward stuff. He tells us this in 1 Samuel 16. For the Lord sees not as the man sees. The man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We see the truth that before we can get to forgiveness, we first need to check our hearts. The Lord, he knows what's going on in our lives. He sees it. He knows our stories. He cares about us deeply. And he wants us to be freed from unforgiveness. And he also wants us to be freed by forgiveness. It's not about those external demonstrations. It's not about blabbering on. Jesus says this in the passage. Don't be like those hypocrites. Don't be like those people on the street corners. Don't be like the people who put their enemies on blast on the internet. Don't gossip just to gain power and control. But be before the Lord. Encounter him and allow him to meet with you. And so I do think here it is helpful that we need to challenge ourselves and we need to first address our own lives. We need to see if there's something that God's doing within our hearts. And so I think that it's helpful that we need to see what's going on in the secret place of our hearts. What's going on in those secret places of your heart? Part of my own story with forgiveness is that I know really well those secret places before the Lord. And I know that is where forgiveness begins. And I've had to deal with this, and I still do. Even this week, I have to. And God, he knows my story. He knows it well. And so he knows that at times I have said out loud that I forgive them. I forgive them. And then I've even told people too that I forgive them. But God, he knows. He knew. He knows that at that time, there was no way. Forgiveness, that was not an option. There was no way that I could possibly forgive them for the pain that they caused me. I could not just let go and forgive. Because you don't know the pain that they caused me, God. You don't know. But the Lord, he was kind to me. He was strong and he was present and he met with me. And he knew exactly what I needed and when I needed it. And so, church, perhaps for you, you already know who it is that you need to forgive. And if so, may you have the courage and bravery to continue down this path of forgiveness. But if you don't know who it is that you need to forgive, let me just lend out some things that I've learned along the way to help you see if you need to forgive someone too. So perhaps maybe your heart sinks, or anxiety rises, or maybe your behavior or actions even change when somebody enters a room, or when you see somebody's name on your phone, or perhaps the Lord has already brought somebody to your mind, and you've pushed it off maybe once, maybe more, and you've said, no, I don't need to. Well, church, perhaps you need to forgive that person or persons. The Jesus way starts in prayer and solitude before the Lord. And with our heart work properly addressed, we can now look at what it means to be playing this out in the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus uses prayer that he gave us. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Kyle to continue on with this. So Kyle, take it away.
Thanks, Melanie. The Lord's Prayer, likely it's a well-known part of the scriptures for us. A few years ago, I was able to be in Israel, and there's this small town there where the ancient dialect of the language Jesus spoke is still known by a few people. And so our study group had this person come and say the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, the way Jesus would have spoken it. And it was so stunning. It was so beautiful. I started to get emotional imagining Jesus saying these very words. And then my dad, a little tongue-in-cheek, leaned over and he's like, you know, Jesus didn't have to pray that, right? And I was like, ah. And it kind of rocked me a little bit. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Jesus never had to ask for forgiveness. I was like, oh yeah. It's like, this is the prayer that Jesus gave us. And it's to be the blueprint for our lives. And so the Lord's Prayer, I would love to read it together. And so wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, I would love for you to join me aloud as we say the prayer that our Lord Jesus gave us. It goes like this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then Jesus gives this explanation right after it. For if you have forgiven other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The Lord's Prayer, with a little explanation after it. Several summers ago, I decided that every night of the summer, I was going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it was such a life-changing experience for me. It's one I'll never forget. Every single word has stunning meaning for us. And every line of the prayer identifies some aspect of our relationship with God. I went through it, and I would just focus on one word at a time. And so this one night, I'm just there, and I'm like, our Father. And I went through it. And it dawned on me how this is our prayer. It's a corporate. Life the Jesus way is life together. We ask for our bread, and it's our sins. This is a communal prayer to shape our communal life. And it's our Father in heaven, juxtaposing his loving presence as a father with his holy otherness, his power in heaven. As Father, he's concerned about us. Yet as the one in heaven, he's all powerful and totally pure and holy. Once we acknowledge this, we say, oh, will your kingdom come? Will your will be done? And it's how we started off this series. May Calgary start to look more and more like where he is. May the kingdom come in our midst. Then Jesus teaches us, ask for what you need to survive. Your daily bread, your manna for each day. And once we have enough to survive, Jesus tells us that this is how we are to live. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And Jesus takes two things for granted here. One, we need to be forgiven. And two, we need to forgive other people. Now, the call to forgive can often be misunderstood. And you can even like trace it culturally over the last couple of decades. In the mid-1980s, there was this movement talking about the great personal benefits of forgiveness. And it kind of opened the floodgates to this forgiveness-centered positive message. And it led us to all these shallow versions of forgiveness. And in the same way that the world has counterfeit versions of love and peace that are often just surface level, this also became true about forgiveness, and there was all kinds of counterfeit versions. John Swinton observes, forgiveness has increasingly been marketed in church and world as a therapeutic means to the ultimate end of maximized personal health and spirituality. Forgiveness has been kind of manipulated to just be all about your life hack for personal gain. But we know that forgiveness can be a costly endeavor, a hard one. So what is this forgiveness that Jesus calls us to? I think it's easy to start with what it is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness is not ignoring a moment or a decision or just avoiding something, bottling it away. Forgiveness is not accepting or tolerating wrong behavior. Forgiveness is also not reconciliation. Some of us need to forgive someone where reconciliation is not possible because we don't know who did the wrong. Or perhaps they've passed on. Or perhaps the other person isn't willing to engage in reconciliation. God does not make our forgiveness dependent upon somebody else's actions. It can be a unilateral decision that we make to forgive. Forgiveness is not exonerating someone. Saying that what happened, oh, it's okay. That's an insult to true forgiveness. Forgiveness is not condoning behavior or attitudes or action, nor is it putting blank trust in the one who hurt you. But what forgiveness is telling the truth and acknowledging what has been done and making the choice to release feelings of resentment, vengeance, and a desire for revenge towards a person or group who has harmed you. It's telling the truth, acknowledging what's been done, and choosing to release it. Forgive and forget? No. I think it's actually a demonstration of greater grace when we're fully aware of what happened and yet still choosing to forgive. So how do we know if we've forgiven? Well, Melanie gave us a pretty good list earlier of signs we haven't, but R.T. Kendall, he writes in his great book, Total Forgiveness, he says, "The ultimate proof of forgiveness takes place when we can sincerely petition God to let those who have hurt us off the hook. We have totally forgiven someone when we relinquish the control of the outcome and released the offender from our grip." Want to know if you've forgiven someone? Kendall asks again, can you pray blessing on them to the degree that you hope to be blessed? Can you pray blessing on the person or group that hurt you? We are to be people that choose to forgive. But we don't just extend forgiveness. Jesus makes it clear in the prayer that first we ask for forgiveness. So how do we know if we've been forgiven? 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Friends, we all need forgiveness from God. We have all wronged him. We have all wandered. And God is saying, if you confess your sins, I am faithful. I am just. I will cleanse you and purify you. I will forgive you. And some of us need to say, God, I need to be made right with you. I confess my sins. I confess them to you. Have you told the truth? Have you confessed and have you participated with God in that process? If you have, God's word is clear that you are forgiven. You're forgiven. But because I know that false guilt or pseudo guilt is a real thing, any accusation of confessed guilt comes from the enemy that wants to destroy you. If you have stared your failures in the face, told the truth about it, and acknowledged it, and say, God, I confess this to you and to the community that, you know, the R in your community, you may need to confess it there too. But God's saying, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and I'm just and I will forgive you and I will make you pure. God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. And church, as people, we are created in God's image, which means that we too are to be people that forgive and forgive and forgive. Jesus' call to forgiveness is a tough one. So often when Jesus talks about forgiveness in the Bible, he almost always expands on it because his call to forgiveness is radical and costly. It's almost as if the people that heard him were like, wait, can you explain that again? And we see this in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed or are debtors. And it's like the disciples are like, wait, what do you mean by that? And then Jesus says this in verse 14, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I'm sure the disciples were like, wait a minute, that sounds even more difficult. What are you talking about here? To be clear, our forgiveness is not based on our forgiving of others. 1 John 1:9, confess, forgiven. But what Jesus is saying here is that our inability to forgive others reveals that we have not experienced forgiveness ourselves. The point is this, forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. Followers of the Jesus way realize that their experience of God's forgiveness enables, and not only enables, it compels them to forgive others. Now, does this make forgiveness easier? Not necessarily. It still may be the most costly and scary decision that we will ever make. But experiencing God's forgiveness in our lives releases the burden from our shoulders of bearing that unforgiveness. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, the disciples, their immediate response is, "You need to increase our faith then." Our forgiveness, our forgiving other people, is an act of faith, and it's one that we need help with. But the Jesus way is the way of faith. The Jesus way is the way of forgiving. This is never more clearly seen than in some of Jesus' last words before his death. While he was on the cross, being crushed by those he came to save, he uttered these well-known words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." While being crushed in his deepest pain, amidst the biggest betrayal, carrying and feeling the weight of your sin and my sin and the weight of the whole world, Jesus offers forgiveness for those killing him, for you and for me, and for those who have wounded us. Jesus says, "Forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Jesus on the cross, not denying the evil, not forgiving and forgetting. He's staring in the face and he cries out for forgiveness for those who crushed him, for those who crushed us. And he offers forgiveness to me and to you. And it is through Jesus on the cross and his resurrection that we are enabled and empowered to forgive. It is this Jesus that we follow on the way. Christian forgiveness is not denying that evil happened. Christian forgiveness is now found in and through a person. Galatians 2:20, it says this: "I have been crucified with Christ." We're on the cross, crucified with Christ. "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The same Jesus who expressed, "Father, forgive them," enables us to say the same thing. He lives in us. And we can now say with him, "Father, forgive them." We forgive as we have been forgiven. Are we perfect? Far from it. But even in our failures, God's grace meets with us. Rich Villodas, he recently wrote, "The church might be the only community of people that establishes its credibility in the world by routinely and fearlessly confessing and repenting of sin. And we lose our credibility by refusing to name our sins. We actually gain credibility to this life and story that we live, the Jesus way, by confessing our sins." And we don't just confess our sins. Confession is more than that. We actually, in our confession of sins, we confess Jesus as Lord. This is the Jesus way. And so before we take communion together, where we confess Jesus as Lord, I want to end by giving you and me a chance to take a step in the Jesus way, a step in the Jesus direction to receive or extend forgiveness. Some listening right now, you know it's time to receive forgiveness. You've been living contrary to the Jesus way. Maybe the weight of sin has been revealed to you, the burden that you've been bearing, and it's time for peace with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. It's time to confess your sin before God. Say, here I am, I confess. But for others of us listening, it's time to forgive someone. To ask for forgiveness, maybe. Or perhaps you need to forgive yourself. Melanie shared a brilliant prayer from Lisa Turkhurst with me that may be helpful for some of us when it comes to forgiving other people. The prayer is this: God, I forgive, fill in the blank, for, fill in the blank, and whatever my feelings don't allow for, the blood of Jesus will cover. How do you need to fill in that prayer? Let's take a moment. Let's pray. God, some of us today know it's time to confess our sins to you. Thank you that in your grace, you have shown us that it's time to take that step. And I pray we have the courage to follow the Jesus way and to confess our sins and to confess you, Lord, as Lord. And Lord, for others of us, we need to forgive someone. Oh, that we would be able to fill that prayer. God, we forgive you know who, for you know what. And if my feelings don't allow for it, the blood of Jesus, the one who on the cross said, Father, forgive. Well, he lives in me, my hope for glory. We look to you today and we forgive. We follow the forgiver. We receive forgiveness and we forgive. We pray this in and through Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Each week we gather and we look at God's word and we look at the life of Jesus. And we don't just do this for some intellectual interest. We do this because we fundamentally believe that Jesus has invited us to participate in his life and to participate in his story, that his life can be ours, that his reality can be our reality. And this is what we celebrate in communion, that we participate with Jesus. We read in God's word that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Jesus, we remember and we participate in your life, your death, and resurrection. And we thank you for your broken body that we may be made whole. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in it, remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus, your blood poured out. We remember, we participate, we celebrate. We proclaim your life and death and resurrection until you come again. We drink this in your name. Jesus, amen. The Jesus way, a story that we participate in, a life that we live out, being forgiven, forgiving others, together. Much grace to you, church, as you go on your journey of forgiveness and forgiving others. I've chosen forgiveness as well.
Help me get past the past.